Altruistic commitment relieves specific causes of dejection by placing them in a broader perspective. These causes should not discourage you. Most of one's own troubles, worries, and sadness in this life come from self-cherishing. As mentioned earlier, being wisely selfish is not negative, but short-sighted selfishness, concerned only with immediate satisfaction, is counterproductive. A narrow perspective makes even a small problem unbearable. Being concerned about all sentient beings widens your view, making you more realistic. In this way, an altruistic attitude helps to reduce your own pain right now. My earnest request is that you practice love and kindness, whether you believe in a religion or not. Through this practice, you will come to realize the value of compassion and kindness for your own peace of mind. After all, even though you may not be concerned with other people, you are very much concerned with yourself, no question about it. So you must want to achieve a peaceful mind and a happier daily life. If you practice more kindness and tolerance, you will find more peace. There is no need to change the furniture in your house or move to a new home. Your neighbor may be very noisy or very difficult, but so long as your own mind is calm and peaceful, neighbors will not bother you much. However, if you are generally irritable, even when your best friend visits, you cannot become really happy. However, if you are calm, even your enemy cannot disturb you. This is why I say that if you are really selfish, you are better off being wisely selfish. This way you can fulfill your selfish motive to be happy. This is much better than being self-centered or foolishly selfish, which will not succeed. The following visualization technique is very helpful in daily practice. You remain calm and reasonable. In front of you to the right, imagine another version of yourself who is a solid mass of egotistical self-centeredness, the kind of person who would do anything to satisfy an urge. In front of you to the left, visualize a group of poor people who are not related to you, including some who are destitute, needy, suffering. Be calm and unbiased as you observe these two sides. Now think. Both want happiness. Both want to shed suffering. Both have the right to accomplish these goals. Consider this. We often work long and hard for a better salary, or we spend a great deal of money in hopes of gaining even more. We are willing to make temporary sacrifices for a long-term return. By the same logic, it makes perfect sense for one single person to make sacrifices in order to help a larger good. Naturally, your mind will favor the side with the greater number of suffering people. As an unbiased observer, observe your own egotistical self there at your right side, neglecting the welfare of so many, no matter how terrible their suffering. It simply is not good to be like this. Though both sides that you are visualizing have an equal right to happiness, there is no way to avoid the overwhelming need of the greater number. The point is that you yourself must serve and help other beings. This state of mind is undeniably difficult, but if you practice it with great determination, then year by year, your mind will change, will improve. In the mid-60s, I gave a teaching on Tsongkhapa's Stages of the Path to Enlightenment, during which I mentioned that if I achieved the first level of true cessation of afflictive emotions, I would take a long rest. I really felt that way. Even though I admired altruism, I thought it would be too difficult to develop. Then, around 1967, I received teaching on Shantideva's A Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life from the Gugyu Lama Kunu Denzin Gyantsen and began to reflect more on its meaning along with Nagarjuna's precious garland. Eventually, I gained some confidence that with enough time, I could develop this high degree of compassion. Now, beginning from around 1970, every morning when I contemplate altruism, I cry. This is how transformation takes place. I do not claim to have developed a high degree of altruism, but I am confident that I can. Even if your experience of altruistic motivation is modest, it will definitely give you a degree of mental peace. Generating concern for others has vast powers to transform your mind. If you practice compassion for the sake of all living beings, including animals, then that same limitless merit will accrue to you. Even if you cannot, for the time being, rise to the level of cherishing others more than yourself, at least you can begin to see that it is not right to neglect others. We have a human body and the power of human judgment, but if we use these only for our own self-centered ends and not for the sake of others, we are no better than animals. In fact, ants, to cite just one example, work unselfishly for the community. We humans sometimes do not look good by comparison. We are supposed to be higher beings, so we must act according to our higher potentiality.